What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. This is episode number 160. I'm Jared, here with Paul.
What up?
Coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada today. We're going to be talking about the return of the great John Jones fighting in the UFC Heavyweight Championship at UFC 285 against Ciryl Gane. We're also going to be talking about the BKFC, which saw a new heavyweight champion crowned in former UFC fighter Alan Belcher. And we're going to be taking a look ahead to the upcoming BKFC London card headlined by Conor Tierney. But first, before we get to the combat sports, you know what time it is. Grab your stash, fire it up. Let's get into the weed of the week. Smoke weed every day.
All right. So this week, we've got some uppercut by Mike Tyson. This is his collaboration with Redwood Cultivation as well. This one comes in at a nice 24%. So uppercut is a mixture of purple punch and sour dove. It is a hybrid. It says 65-35 indica to sativa split. This one's pretty good, I think, so far.
So Tyson Farms is a California-based company. So the reason when it comes to places like Nevada that he has to do these things that look like a collab because it's put out by Redwood Cultivation, it's not a collaboration, really. It's due to federal laws on the crossing of state lines with cannabis. So a California weed company cannot sell to a Nevada weed company and transport that weed across state lines. So Tyson's got to team up with somebody here in Nevada to grow his strains here and then also sell and brand his strains here. So thus you have what looks kind of like a collaboration, but it's really this Tyson's bringing his stuff here. He's using Redwood's name and their facilities, and that way he's able to put his weed out. So this is the actual proper, you know, Tyson, it's genuine Tyson Farms.
Yeah.
It just has to have that Redwood label on it as well due to stupid federal regulations. You know, I hope one day we get past that.
Well, yeah. I think that's where we're headed so far.
So I had done a review on some weed called, there were these joints called Caviar Joints, and they sold weed as well, and I did a review on them for our sister channel on YouTube, the LVME, and the owner of that company didn't like my negative review, and so they contacted me and wanted to send me a bunch of their products, but the problem was I'm in Nevada, they were in California, and they couldn't do it. And they couldn't even make it so I could go to their stores and pick it up, like, because they can't give it away there either. It was just this weird, stupid law. But it's pretty silly, and hopefully it gets passed. But this weed's pretty dope. Yeah, I like another PAX 3. I'm having a hard time hitting that. So,
Also do have this weed pen from Green and Gold Supply Company. It's called Chemical Cantaloupes. Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's coming in at a 87% THC, which is pretty nice as well.
Got some strawberry cough from Provisions and another vape pen. And then we still have some of this pink truffles left over from last week. We're going to be hitting this bong here as well.
Nice, nice. Well, let's dive into it.
Keep hitting the mic while I'm hitting this bong. Sorry about that, folks.
Let's dive into it. So last weekend we had BKFC main event between Arnold Adams and Alan Belcher, where we saw Belcher end up getting the KO victory. What were your thoughts?
Dude, that was a really crazy fight. You know, it opened up and Arnold Adams was making really great use of his jab. He was kind of bringing it to Belcher quite a bit. In fact, he knocked him down twice in the first round, but then it was crazy because Belcher got back up and then immediately put Adams back down on the canvas in the waning few seconds of round number one. So it was hard to figure what was going to happen. I mean, it wasn't hard to figure what could happen in round two. It was just who was going to get that knockout because they both showed a lot of power there. But then, dude, Belcher came out and just put it on him with it. He landed this uppercut that really just sealed the deal. It changed Adams. It changed his reactions. It clearly showed him down. He was able to put him away after that. And the uppercut's one of my favorite punches. I call for it in MMA all the time. We see it a lot more, of course, in BKFC because it's punching only. But Belcher made great use of that. He showed a really strong chin. He took some super heavy shots from a very powerful heavyweight.
Yeah.
And I think he clearly belongs at heavyweight. There was some derision on MMA sites because he used to be middleweight. But it's not like he just got fat and now he's fighting heavyweight. He's a big, thick dude, man.
Yeah.
Like, he must have been really trim to get down to 85 when he was there. And he's older now, too. This is years later. He's just bigger. He's thicker.
Well, not only that, too. I think, you know, when you talk about just the weight-cutting culture that is within mixed martial arts, I think it's a different, like, it's just a different thing. You know what I mean? I feel like weight cutting is a big part of mixed martial arts because of a lot of the grassroots of mixed martial arts coming from like sports like judo and wrestling and jiu-jitsu where people cut weight. Boxing is one of those sports where I feel like a lot of people don't cut as much weight.
Well, there's so many weight classes now, you don't really have. There's a weight class every 5 pounds. What do you need to, you need to cut what you just need to cut to make weight. I mean, it's normally you got a pound or two you got to go fucking make weight with. That's everyday life.
Well, and I feel like that's why we do see a lot of people in boxing that are fighting a lot more naturally, like, at what they walk around at. You know what I mean? Yeah. Obviously, people cut, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 pounds, but you don't see these 25-pound weight cuts that you see in mixed martial arts normally. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's some insanity going on in combat sports right now in mixed martial arts with the weight cutting. But anyways, back to Alan Belcher, really strong showing. He has the potential. He's undefeated now. He's 4-0 in BKFC. He has the potential to maybe hang on to this belt for a little while.
Yeah, there's some real interesting matchups for him, I'd say, at heavyweight. You know, you got Houston Alexander looming there. You got Big Ben Rothwell. Also, Lorenzo Hunt was talking about moving up to heavyweight as well, trying to get a third belt.
Yeah, so no, he's the light heavy and the cruiserweight champion who just, you know, defeated Richmond 2 weeks ago in an amazing bout. But I don't know, let's just talk about him for a minute. I don't know, seeing Mike Richmond, who fought in MMA at 135 and 145, fights in BKFC at 185. Mm-hmm. If he put Hunt down on the canvas, no shade on him, how is he going to take a punch from a guy like Alan Belcher, or even worse, a guy built like, say, Greg Hardy? Now, not Greg Hardy specifically, because he's not going to make it to that level. But I'm saying a guy built like that, a 300-pounder.
Well, let's
what are you going to do?
Someone
else, five,
Ben Rothwell versus Rindle.
Ben Rothwell. There you go.
I do think that's something that could be, flying too close to the sun for Lorenzo Hunt. But you know, he deserves the opportunity to make history. I feel.
I could see them going that way. Also, Houston Alexander, you mentioned him. You know, when we had him on the show a few weeks ago, he said he's open to title shots at either weight class.
Yeah.
That's
a big fight for him as well.
Yeah. That would pit him against, you know, either Lorenzo Hunt or Alan Belcher now, which would be...
I
like him versus fights. Belcher would be an exciting bout.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there, but congratulations to Alan finally securing, you know, a world title in an organization after a very long career in mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
He's not very old for a heavyweight fighter. I think he could stick around for a minute if he can avoid taking some of those punches. If he takes punches like he took from Arnold Adams every fight, he's going to only have one or two left.
And that's a fight I could see them revisiting also. That was a really close fight there in that first round, and I thought it was real competitive. I don't think Adams is out of the picture now. I think
he's an intelligent fighter. Yeah, that's what you saw in that, was a lot of intelligence, not just wild winging. I mean, Adams would make great use of his jab.
Yeah, so I do think that's something that maybe could be revisited in the future if he, you know, rattles off a couple wins or something like that. So I just feel the heavyweight division's in a good place, and I think Belcher's, you know, he's the champion now, but there's some great matchups for him down the road.
As for the card in general, another winner, not a boring card on there. So now we've got... And some exciting shit next week in BKFCs, too. Let's just touch on the main event there. We've got Connor Tierney fighting against Jake Lindsey.
Yeah.
This is billed as kind of a number one contenders fight, but I think that's mostly if Connor wins, which he's expected to do.
Yeah.
No, he's another one that we've had on the show, and he was talking about fighting for this 165 belt then, and he's almost there now. He's headlining a card in London, which is a big deal. We've been trying to get him back on. It's just he's in London. We're in Vegas. He's in training for this fight. It's very hard to kind of get the time schedules meshed up, but we've all been able to get together.
Absolutely.
But afterwards, it might be a little bit easier if he wins as I expect him to here.
Yeah, I think this is going to be like a big showcase for Tierney as, you know, someone who deserves a title shot at this 165 weight class.
You know, we've got Tierney's no slouch. I mean, not Tierney. Lindsay's no slouch. I mean, he's undefeated. He's 3-0 in BKFC. He's got wins against Eric Thompson, Derek Friendly, and Brandon Gertz. Just a BKFC 31 Denver, which was the Richmond Doolittle card in October of 2022. He's earned this spot. BKFC only does rankings down to 5 right now. Tierney enters this in the number 5 slot, Jake being unranked. Champion is Louis Palomino. Now, Louis is a dual champion. He also holds that lightweight belt, which there's a lot of barking going on in that division for a title as well, with Austin Trout taking out Diego Sanchez, and then Louis Palomino coming into the ring, the cage, whatever, the squared circle.
Yeah.
It really seemed like they want to make that. So it's hard to say how this all shakes out with a win here for Connor.
Yeah, and there's a weird cue kind of what in that division as well, because then you have like Chad Mendez, who's mm-hmm. going to fight a couple months after Connor Tierney. So
you know, BKFC would love to see Chad Mendez in a title shot.
Yeah.
He's already ranked number 4 at lightweight. Then you, so you've got, this is kind of the problem when you have these dual champions, though.
Yeah.
Is some of these divisions get a little held up, and there's really nothing you can do about it, even if he fights every 3 months.
Yeah.
It's still only, you know, it's only 2 a year
yeah.
for each division.
Yeah, and I do think BKFC is one of those, you know, promotions where guys are constantly making a name for themselves and constantly, you know, trying to get up there into title contention, and you're going to have guys who are going to sit on the shelf in some cases because of that.
Well, maybe we'll just see what they did here with, you know, Richmond had an interim title.
Yeah, but then you kind of run into that weird thing of like, who's the real champion, you know? Because you got tons of interim titles, and then, you know.
I hate to see them go down that path. Like, UFC yeah. went way overboard with the interim titles, and I hate for BKFC to do that.
And boxing does that a lot, too. Like, what was it, 2 years ago, they had to, like, cancel all the interim titles in boxing because there was just so many that it was just overpopulating boxing.
Now, Connor,
he has 1,000 titles.
This will be his third fight in BKFC. And we're not going to dive too deep into his history because we've got the interview there that people can go back to.
Yeah.
But he does have wins over Jeremiah Riggs and then Joe Elmore. And the thing is, in both of those victories, I mean, he's 7-1 in bare knuckle overall. In those two victories, everybody talks about Louis Palomino's movement and his ring and fight IQ. Tierney looked on a whole other level from that.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy just wasn't getting hit. He was
his
slipping punches.
Ridiculous.
Like, I mean, it was really something to see. And if he continues that, which has every indication that he's going to,
yeah,
he could find himself winning that title, holding on to it, and getting at top of those pound-for-pound rankings pretty quick, as well as the divisional rankings too, right?
And that's something we've always talked about with the BKFC also, is there's so many different, like, styles that have, like, kind of defined where this sport goes. I feel like Tierney's kind of like in that next level of like what to look out for.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Neither one of us is thinking that Jake Lindsay's. We're not talking like he has a chance of winning here, and it's no disrespect to him, but I just don't think he does. I think Connor Tierney's the future of BKFC and bare knuckle right now.
Yeah, I do
and
too.
This will just further show that. And whoever's champ when he finally gets that title shot is probably going to get smoked.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that we look forward to as fans. And I think the sky's the limit for someone like Connor Tierney.
All right, well, let's move off BKFC and let's get into the big fucking fight of this week, which is the return of Jon Jones after 3 years in a whole new weight class, fighting for a vacant title. Since Francis Ngannou is no longer champ in the UFC, Ciryl Gane is not the guy we wanted. It's not the guy that makes the most sense. That would have been Stipe Miocic. Jones really wanted that fight too. He's already come out and said that's who he wants next.
Yep.
But let's take Jon Jones and Ciryl Gane. Let's just put a fucking pin in that shit for a minute and let's go down this card a little bit because it's pretty stacked, actually, from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got one person that I just want to talk about is Cody Garbrandt. He's returning against Trevin Jones.
Yeah. This is a big fight for Cody.
Bantamweight, so he's no longer fucking with the 125 division, which is smart.
I never thought he belonged there anyways.
No, me neither. But he's, in my opinion, a very severe career crossroads here.
Yeah, this is a huge fight for him. This is a make-or-break moment. He needs to win this fight. If he doesn't, I just don't know what else there really is to do for him.
Cut him.
Yeah,
you think the UFC is going to hang on to this dude with a loss? I can't see it.
I couldn't see it, dude. No.
But, his brand has been so damaged.
Yeah.
And every time he comes back for these comebacks, he gets fucked up. I think he has his hands full with Jones. I think Jones is going to win this fight handily. I think he's going to send Garbrandt crashing to the canvas, and that's going to be the end of that for him in the UFC. Maybe he should go try bare knuckle.
That's someone who would be really good at bare knuckle, I think. But, yeah. I don't know. I hope for a Garbrandt win. I mean, I think he's a good, like, you know, any fighter who's ever been champion deserves to go out the way they want to go out, I guess. And I just don't really see that even if he does win here, that, like, this starts some, like, career renaissance. I think it's him getting one on the way out.
There's an exciting middleweight bout. Derek Brunson is about, in my opinion, to get his ass kicked by Duplessis.
Yeah. Duplessis is a...
Rodriguez Duplessis is no joke.
Very underrated fighter at middleweight. I think his last fight against Till, I thought should have shot him higher up in the rankings at number 10, to be honest. I thought he looked really great. He pretty much just shut him out. Smoked
Darren Till.
Yeah, completely shut him out. I mean, yeah, that second round was a little bit tougher, but he still survived it all and then ends up tapping Till. And I think Derek Brunson is kind of stuck in this spot for his kind of UFC career at this point. He gets the guy who is the toughest fight, and everyone is saying should be, you know, a title contender because he's just kind of stuck in that number five spot. You know?
I mean, he's 18-2. He's on a good streak of some solid. I mean, wins over Tavares and Till, and just his last two are pretty solid. I mean, yeah. Especially the way he went out and smoked Darren Till.
Tavares too.
You've got Brunson coming off the loss.
Yeah.
To Cannoneer. And then he had the win over Till as well. And he was on a nice streak before then. But I don't know. When you look at it, it's not that big. It's Holland at middleweight. Shabazzian.
Well, I think that's kind of the story of Derek Brunson's career, though. It's the let's go win 5-6 in a row. You're number two or three in the world. And you're getting a title eliminator. And you get smoked. Like, that's kind of been the story. And I feel like that's kind of what's going to happen here. I mean, I think Duplessis, this is his time. This is his chance to, you know, put a real serious name on his resume, and I think he gets a win here.
Yeah, I do too. I think he gets it pretty handily. And he's going to be announcing himself as a pretty strong contender at middleweight too, which is in pretty dire need of a contender. Anyway. I don't know if he can fuck with Israel Adesanya. Oh shit, Israel Adesanya's not even champion anymore. I forget. So he's saying that, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, know he could be still because I mean we're talking. Yeah, well, he fights for the title in a month from now, so I mean it's not the end of the world for Israel, but I do think Duplessis has a huge chance of beating whoever is champion when he gets up there. Another middleweight matchup on there is we have the debut of Bo Nickel in the UFC versus Jamie Pickett. This should be a very interesting fight for Bo. I mean, a lot of pressure is going to be on him. He's opening the pay-per-view. He's, you know, making his long-awaited debut after this fight got canceled the first time. And this is just an opportunity for him, just like it was in the Contender Series, for him to, you know, create his name as a mainstay for, you know, everything coming up. I mean, the world's his right now. If you really think about the UFC, if he comes out here and he has a very, you know, dominant win, I think they end up fast tracking him because this kid is, you know, he's young, he's got tons and tons of talent, that's for sure. And he's been on these big stages before. He's, you know, wrestled in front of 50,000 people multiple times in his life. Same thing as fighting in front of 50,000 people. And that's something I think that is going to be a big advantage. Come Saturday.
Do you think Jamie Pickett has anything to offer him here? I mean, he's pretty experienced. He's coming off a loss, two losses in a row. You know, his UFC record, he's been alternating wins and losses, basically. He's got one loss, two wins, then two losses in a row.
Yeah, I don't think he's got anything for him, to be honest.
He's probably going to get smoked like Chimaev style.
Maybe.
You think?
I don't know, because Bo has this, like... this interesting want to like, although he's already world class, like, he just has this, like, overall want to, like, prove people, like, he has to prove people wrong. You know what I mean? Like, because everyone's like, oh, he's just a wrestler, or, like, so he goes into the second fight contender series and tries to strike with him. He's,
you know, well, he's kind of, that's one of probably those guys. The fight I'm most interested in outside of the two, the main and the co-main event, would be Bo Nichols.
Yeah.
I think he needs to, I'd like to see him make a statement.
Just yeah, he has to.
You know, I'd like to see him get the kind of hype that Chimaev got. That would be dope.
Yeah. And that's another guy, though. Middleweight is in dire need of somebody. And I think Bo's style, I mean, obviously not saying he's ready now, but with the way Bo fights and his wrestling acumen, like, he could be trouble for a guy like Israel, or even for fucking, oh my God.
Piera,
yeah, sorry. I was like, how am I fucking blanking?
We both just fucking completely forgot right. There's a different champ. What's his name?
Well, because Izzy was working. He was working. I think Piera matches up roughly with both Du Plessis and fucking Bo Nichols. Any of these grappling heavy like fighters, I think he has trouble.
I mean, that is the word on him, so to speak, but because of his kickboxing background, right? But I don't know. He's a pretty fucking strong dude.
Yeah, he's fucking tough.
And the people used to say that about Adesanya when he came into the UFC as well, and it was a legit criticism then, but look how he shored up his fucking takedown defense, man.
Oh, yeah, it's possible. I mean, you know? He was working with Glover every day of his life. So.
And it was, the bigger guys that gave Adesanya the problem in Jan Blachowicz and then Piera. You know?
Yeah, but then also, he also fucking ragdolled Piera in the grappling. He turned into D1 Izzy all of a sudden and took him down fucking, what, three times, four times, almost had his back, like, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see when we get there, though. But Bo Nichols, I'm expecting to run through Jamie Pickett, I'm hoping pretty fast.
Another interesting matchup is we got Matthias Gamrot taking on Jalen Turner at lightweight. Turner coming off that quick win over Brad Riddell not too long ago. This is a good fight for him. It's a 7-10 matchup, so this is kind of, you know, that middle of the road. Either one of these guys could, you know, shoot themselves up into contention with this fight. I like Turner. I think Turner's body style and just, like, his fight style is a lot to handle for 155-pounders when you're, what, he's, like, 6'1", isn't he?
Yeah, he's 6'1", I do believe.
You know, dude is... Think about freaking Jones is, what, 6'2"? This guy's fighting... He's fighting fucking 155 at 6'1". That's ridiculous.
Jones is 6'4", but yeah, he's crazy fucking. He's crazy tall. We'll see.
Gamrot's tough though. So, but I like Turner in that one. And then I think what could end up being the fight of the night here, we got Jeff Neal taking on Shavkat Rachmanov. I think Shavkat's another one of those guys that has just, like, you know, hit the scene from that, you know, part of the world. Jeff Neal's no tough out, though. This is, like, a real big test to see where, you know, Shavkat can either go into the top of this division, or is Jeff Neal going to clip his wings? Because Jeff Neal throws with bad intentions every single time he goes out. But Rachmanov's probably the most well-rounded we've seen out of all those guys.
Well, he's the guy to me that seems like the more legit, or not more legit, the equally as legit as Chimaev.
Yeah.
I mean, he's undefeated. He's looked very good every time he's out there. He just flies under the radar because the UFC didn't choose to promote him, and he doesn't have ties to a Chechen warlord that seems to get you press a lot and other things.
Yeah.
You know, he's just been kind of fucking flying under the radar, but this is a big moment for him. I think he's going to fuck Jeff Neal up personally.
You think so?
Yeah. Shit. I think this dude's the truth. And he's going to put on his cool hat, whatever, afterwards, and walk away with another victory.
Yeah, I think he wins, but I think it's a lot tougher than it's supposed to be for him. I think Jeff Neal's not going to go down easy.
No, Jeff Neal's a solid, but I think this dude is...
the real deal, yeah.
Yeah, I think him and Chimaev would make a very interesting fight somewhere down the road.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's a star. If
stays down at welterweight at all, so
yeah, that too. But I just feel like it's going to be a real turning point fight for Rachmanov for sure. All right, and then in the co-main event, we have Valentina Shevchenko taking on Alexa Grasso. Interesting fight. I don't know if Grosso has enough for Valentina. I don't necessarily subscribe to the same idea that a lot of people do, that Shevchenko's on the trending downward, like people have said recently. Dude. You know what I mean?
Since suddenly her last she fight. Can't grapple.
Yeah, which is
are
tough.
You fucking kidding me? This is just because the old saying is true. You know, you're only as good as your last fight, and that's not a literal truth. It's just in people's minds, and especially when you have a long-term champion that some people just choose not to like for whatever reason. Like, for instance, John Jones, people wanted to point to the fucking, you know, his last fight at light heavyweight and be like, so he sucks, he's washed up, he should have lost to Dominic Reyes, blah, 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 blah. I don't buy into this narrative with her. I don't believe that her grappling has any problems with it at all.
Yeah.
She just doesn't use it a lot of the times. And
I think Talia Santos is just a really good grappler, too. Like, that was just not, it's not like always, like, that's the thing that people need to realize is, when you're Valentina Shevchenko and you're fighting for the title every single time you go out, you're not fighting people that are just shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the thing, man. Like, people, when they see these dominant champions lose a round, or like, you know, they have a tough fight, but they eke out a win. Like, they love to point to the whole, like, oh, look at that. They're human. But it's like, yeah, because they're fighting the best of the best of the best every single night. The guys that are trying to become them are the people that they're fighting every single night. So when Valentina Shevchenko has a couple fights where, you know, people get up and try to dethrone one of the greatest women's fighters that we've ever seen, that's not a knock on her. That should be a kudos to the person that is the defender. Not the defender, but the one who's trying to take the title. You know what I mean? It's Why is it always on the champion that, like, oh, she's washed? No, she's not washed. She's just fighting someone who is also one of the best fighters in the world.
I mean, they match up size-wise basically exactly the same. The same height, same weight, same reach, although we do have Orthodox and Grosso versus Southpaw and Shevchenko. I think that might come into play. Grosso's a little bit younger, you know, barely 5 years. She does hold a slight advantage. Grosso does in strikes per minute, if that really matters for anything, as well as she also absorbs many more strikes per minute, though, because if you say that matters, then you have to say the strikes absorbed matters.
Yeah, for sure.
And she takes almost as many as she gives. So,
yeah, I see this as a win for Shevchenko. Yeah,
she absorbs 4 strikes per minute. She dishes out 5. Compare that to Shevchenko, it's 3.19 to 1.9 that she absorbs. I mean,
Shevchenko on the feet is a wizard.
Yeah, you really want to go fucking toe-to-toe with Shevchenko?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. And the last real strong wrestler she faced was Esparza, and Esparza beat her, Grosso.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got the win over Joanne Calderwood. She beat her on the feet. And Joanne Wood is a good striker, but let's face it, she's been around a long time. She's not the striker she was a decade ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's no shame on the win, but I just don't think that what we saw there means that you can beat Valentina Shevchenko for a title.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe that.
It should be a good fight, but I expect yet another victory from Shevchenko as long as she takes it serious, doesn't make any mistakes. Like, she's made a couple mistakes in a round here and there, and then people, like you said, just want to seize on that. Like,
Well, yeah, it's...
I don't see it.
It's the easiest thing to do when someone is perfect is to see the smallest little, like slip up and be like, whoa, oh, look at it, she lost a round. Like, who fucking cares she lost a round? She won all 4 of the other ones. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the same thing as, like, it just, at the end of the day, people need to realize that the talent pool in which she fights in is always going to be the best of the best. So to try to knock her down for only sort of being perfect is just a joke to me. Mm-hmm. And I think she wins this fight. Pretty easy.
I agree.
All right, so let's talk about it. 3 years in the making here. John Jones returns at heavyweight. There's been a little controversy, obviously, going into this fight. This has, in reality, been something that was supposed to happen last August. Then we had another opponent change and another opponent change and another opponent change, and here we are. For the vacant heavyweight title versus Ciryl Gane.
I still don't really like the fight.
Yeah.
I think it should have been Stipe. It just makes a lot more sense. But maybe it'll be bigger when it's Jones with the belt versus Stipe.
I guess you could say that. But I also think that it just doesn't make any sense to me, because wouldn't you want the two quote-unquote goats on a level playing field? You know what I mean? Like, where you have, like, Stipe, who was easily the consensus UFC heavyweight greatest of all time. And then you have Jon Jones, who to a lot of people is just the MMA greatest of all time.
But like definitely the light overall. Heavyweight.
Yeah, but definitely light heavyweight. Wouldn't you want both those guys on a level playing field?
Yeah, fighting for the vacant title? Yeah, that just makes so much more sense.
Yeah, like,
I don't understand why the UFC is doing this, but this is the fight that we have. I just don't really see what Ciryl Gane has done to deserve this fight. I don't think a fucking win over Tai Tuivasa gets you a title shot after you just got out-wrestled by Francis Ngannou in his bum knee. Sorry. And then your win over Derek Lewis, who is really just a slightly older version of Tuivasa. Yeah. Let's be real. I love Derek. He's not a very good mixed martial artist. He's a very strong puncher.
Yeah.
I love the dude. I'm not trying to shit on him.
That one was for a fucking interim title, too.
But I'm bringing these up for a reason. And then, okay, Volkov. Okay. And then he's got to win over Rozenstruik. Okay, those aren't bad.
Yeah.
Rozenstruik is a decorated kickboxer. He's got some striking chops.
Yeah.
Volkov is all right. Lewis is just, if you're a technical striker, though, you're really supposed to win against Lewis and Tuivasa, aren't you?
Yeah. For sure.
And you're definitely not supposed to get out-wrestled by Francis Ngannou with his bum knee.
Two bum knees.
So I don't understand why people are even giving him a chance against Jon Jones.
I don't either.
Like, what in Jon Jones' career have we seen that would indicate that he can't handle someone? Is it just the extra pounds?
I guess.
This isn't Jon Jones at light heavyweight deciding to fight a heavyweight, though. That's why I don't get that argument. This is not Jon Jones from 3 years ago, barely beating Reyes, going, okay, I'm going to go fight a heavyweight with this body.
Yeah.
It's fucking 36 months later. Dude is huge.
Yeah.
He's shown us in every fight he's been in, almost, with the exception of maybe, the Reyes fight and Gustafsson won, that he comes in with new stuff, right?
Yeah.
That he learns between fights and comes in with better and new weapons. In most cases, 90% of the time, 80% of the time. He's been gone for 3 years. He's been training his ass off. He's put the muscle on the correct way. He's never shown a weak chin. His takedown defense is 95%. He's been in against Daniel Cormier twice.
Yeah.
Ciryl Gane isn't a takedown. He got out-wrestled by fucking Ngannou, bro. He's going to get smoked. This isn't going to be the fucking fight people think it's going to be.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. But I'm just gonna play devil's advocate just for the fuck of it, you know. So, just some narratives that I've read online that are reasons people think this could be a tough fight for Jon Jones. One is Jon Jones in those 3 years, Aldo has put on a lot of size, but he's gone through a lot of turmoil when you talk about his career as a whole. You know, we're talking about. He loses his camp, starts kind of doing all his stuff on his own. So that, as much as, like, Jon Jones is an elite fighter and is, like, one of the most talented fighters of all time, that can raise some questions.
Well, that's not completely accurate. He didn't lose his camp. He lost Winklejohn, and he kept everybody else. He's still training with Gibson.
He's not, though. He actually...
He was for years afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like they split. Like, Winklejohn made a decision...
To kick him out of the gym
yeah. against Greg Jackson's wishes, as far as I know, but Winklejohn controls the major partner, the higher percentage of that gym. It's my understanding. I'm no expert. I could be wrong. Correct me in the comments or wherever you're listening to this, if I am. But from my understanding, that's how that happened. He was the major, the bigger partner, and his wishes are what happened. But that's the only difference is instead of training at that facility, they went and trained at the other fucking facility that everybody uses as well, that whole team.
Yeah.
And Winklejohn just wasn't there. Now, it could be different in these last few weeks, but I just think that would be smart if he brought in some other people, honestly, at some point. When you're as decorated as he is.
Yeah.
It's like Conor sticking with his team forever. Maybe you should mix it up a bit, but he hasn't suffered the losses that Conor has.
Yeah.
Well, so,
yeah, I agree. Once again, that's what the narrative has been, is people are like, well, how hard has he been training? Is he going to be able to carry that heavyweight frame like he has the way he did at light heavyweight, which I do think is probably the only question I have as a John Jones fan. Take all the bullshit narrative and all the extra shit out of it. The one thing that I'm worried about when it comes to John is how he's going to handle this size that he is now fighting in, and how he maintains his condition inside the octagon.
I agree.
That's the only question I have going into this fight. Is if I do think, without a doubt, there's no chance that John Jones can't out-wrestle Ciryl Gane. But I think there could be the difference is if John Jones comes out and wrestles Ciryl Gane and Ciryl survives and we get into rounds 4 and 5, we've seen Ciryl Gane be so technical on the feet. If Jones gasses and then Gane super technical late in the fight, what's that going to look like?
I don't know. And you're right. And I understand what you're saying. Because it makes sense.
That's the biggest question, yeah.
But I just looked at John and I see, well, then look at the... Okay, well, he's got 3 inches of reach on him.
Yeah.
He's been in there. Look at his resume. Like, who... Like, you can't say he hasn't seen significant strikers before. All you can say is he hasn't seen them at that size. But you can then you can say that John Jones has been an extremely well-prepared fighter with all but a handful of times.
Yeah.
Okay, not even a handful. Like, two that I'm aware of, which he both won.
Yeah.
The Gustafson fight, which he righted that ship. And then... Yeah. The Dominic Reyes fight that everybody likes to point to, which, dude, it is what it is. He came out and had a shitty performance. He still got the W, and he was clearly done with the division. Like, that was it. He was like, I'm done. I'm doing this heavyweight shit.
I do think it goes a bit beyond the Reyes fight, though. I do think that if you really look at those last three fights.
We got the Santos and the Smith fights.
Those last three fights, I thought he looked uninterested in there. Like, I thought in the Smith fight, he coasted to victory, and he could have finished Smith, and he could have done, like, a lot more damage to him, and he just kind of was just, like, looked bored in there. The Santos fight, also, like, he tried to beat Santos out of his game, like, tried to kickbox with him and stand the whole time when he very easily could have took Santos down. And
yeah, he does that thing, too, because he's 28-0.
Yeah, 100%.
Really. I mean, he's technically 20 or 26-1-1, right? Or 25-1-1.
Yeah, whatever.
But everybody knows he's undefeated.
Undefeated, yeah.
And that no contest was bullshit. He fucked Daniel Cormier. Don't tell me about no picograms. I don't give a fuck.
Yep. But yeah, that's really my only question when it comes into this fight is how Jones carries this frame. If John Jones comes out and carries this frame the same way he did light heavyweight, it's going to be a long night for Ciryl Gane. But there's things that come into play with this when you talk about the size and his age. He's getting up there in years. He, like you said, he's fought, you know, all these times in the UFC, and he's just been around for a while, and I don't think that those things will come up in the fight. I do think this is a fight that Jones pretty much cruises to a victory in. I think it's a 5-round decision, and I think he wins all 5 rounds. Like, in my opinion, that's what I think ends up happening. But that's my only real question going in. That's the only thing I can question when it comes to John Jones.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is the only question that there is. I'm so confident in everything he's shown us over the years that's the thing that they will have been addressing this entire time.
Cause I agree, yeah.
It's obvious to all of us, right, that, oh, the size. Well, do you think they haven't thought of that? I'm sure he's been sparring against monsters.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that they've been really extending that cardio.
Yeah.
Like, all of these things. And I feel that this has got the fire back in John Jones because he knows that, yes, Conor McGregor's dual champions are historic. Everyone that wins two titles is historic, but it's different when you're talking about the title. Yeah. The heavyweight title is a different thing. It just is. It doesn't matter if it's boxing or whatever MMA organization. The heavyweight title is the most prestigious one.
And doing it right is always the best way to handle that. We've seen plenty of people that have done it the wrong way and end up coming up short. This is a big difference when you're talking 205 to 265. That's 60 pounds. Like, come on.
And John's not coming in there at 225 either. He's coming in at a solid 250.
I'd say he comes in like that. What you think he comes in 250 like exactly, or what do you think he weighs when it comes to the fight night?
246.
See, I think he goes kind of like how Stipe did. Like,
you mean fight night or weigh in?
weighing.
Yeah. I'm guessing he weighs 246 pounds.
I'd say it's somewhere 240 as well. I just, like, that's a lot of weight that he's had to put on if he weighs more than that. Like his frame is a lot bigger, like, you can see it, but he's still, like, athletic. Like, he's still cut. He's still in shape. That's why I think he's, like, in the high 230s, maybe 240.
And look at his family. Look at his brothers. These are guys that all are humongous. And they move with all that weight just fine.
Yeah.
And, he hasn't shown any reason or any indication that he is not the athletic equal of his brothers.
Yeah.
And they're gigantic men who do really fast shit. I imagine the same from John with this opportunity. And he could break Stipe's record at heavyweight.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I think that will be his goal.
Part of it.
Yeah. I think he'll fight Stipe. And honestly, I think he'll beat Stipe.
Yeah.
And then he'll need, two fights after that? And then he could retire after that holding that record that might not ever get beaten.
Well, it actually... It would be three fights because I don't think he'd want to tie it. I think he'd want to beat it.
No, he'd want to beat it, yeah. Because there's the initial, there's a victory which doesn't count as the defense.
But the three defenses.
And then he'd have to beat two defenses. He'd have to have a total of three, yeah.
Oh, is it just a total there? I thought Stipe had the title and then he defended it three times.
No, Stipe got the title and defended it. Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
So it'd be four total. So John's got to win five fights.
Let's see, I'm going to look this up.
And I do think another layer of this is also John Jones has been training with Cejudo's team down in Arizona for the last, like, about year and a half now. And I do think that's going to be a big part of why this grappling heavy style is going to come out. We've seen this team do a lot of this stuff over the years in these last couple title fights that they've been, kind of on the coaching side of.
Yeah.
We've seen Cejudo and his older brother and, like, that whole team kind of take a lot of these big-name fighters under their wing and be real successful. You know, like Pitbull over in Bellator has been undefeated since he's not undefeated, sorry. He has a one loss. But
yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
He's had major improvements. Now we also have seen, you know, just tons and tons of guys go over there, get some time in. Even DJ, Demetrius Johnson. Right now, to think that Demetrius Johnson and John Jones are training in the same gym at the same time is fucking ridiculous.
Like, it is.
The level of guys that they have in there right now is... It's just... kind of like how Jackson Winklejohn was. You know, it's a factory of guys who are the best of the best with the best training methods all in one place. And I do think that's going to make John... continue his greatness in this.
Yeah, Henry Cejudo has proven himself to be a very good coach in his brief retirement that he's had. And I think that John Jones is a sponge that really picks up on that type of thing, especially when he's motivated, which I think he definitely is. So I expect a clear-cut John Jones victory. I wouldn't go so far as a knockout. I'm predicting a five-round dominance.
Me too. I think he wins five rounds and none.
Yep, same here. And then I think he's going to get on the mic and call out Stipe and start trying to force the UFC's hand into that fight because he knows that's a legacy fight. Yeah, for him. I don't think he's wasting his breath. Francis ain't coming back to the UFC.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Nah, that's out of nowhere.
Perfect world. Well, because Francis does matter in this fight, man. Like, I think that's something we kind of haven't talked about going into this was this. I thought the fight... of all fights was John versus Francis. Like, if you look at what Francis did to get back to the top and how he, you know, had his crowning moment and also got the Stipe fight back, and him versus Jones would have been the two best heavyweights in the world.
Yeah, that would have been dope. I agree.
I just feel like we have one of the best heavyweights in the world just not there, and it kind of sucks.
I agree with that, yeah.
You know what I mean? No matter who's... It's undoubtedly the UFC's fault.
I just think it'll be a cold day in hell before Francis Ngannou resigns to the UFC.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that part. I'm just saying, as a fan,
that would be dope. But anyways, John Jones and new. No surprises
I'd
there.
Say and still. Hey, you're Mr. Lineal Belts. Francis Ngannou is just going to be lineal champion of the UFC forever.
It is unfortunate.
Well, I think that wraps the show up for today.
Yeah, thanks to our sponsor, Binoid. You can get some great deals on Binoid CBD and Delta 9 and Delta 8 THC products if you head over to our website and click the Cool Stuff button. You can also find some good deals on UFC shirts and apparel from the UFC store by using our links there as well.
Yep, you can also find those links in the description. Then you can head over there to SWATMA.com, click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, support the podcast. Then head over to Instagram and follow us at SWATMA Podcast.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.